If you've got your Bibles, go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. This is our final one on thankfulness. Doesn't mean that you stop being thankful. I use the word thankfulness and gratitude interchangeably. It's how the Bible often does that. So similar expressions. We're looking at every good gift and comes from our key text, which was James 1, 17 and 18. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father. So James in his book begins by saying that they were experiencing trials. If they weren't yet, they will be. And in the context of difficult times, they are to consider it an opportunity for joy. So how do you do that? And that's what this series has been about, is that we might understand what it is, no matter what our circumstance might be, that we can, God would have us to create a culture of thankfulness and gratitude in spite of our circumstance. Made the reference to John Ortberg's book, Gratitude is the Ability to Experience Life as a Gift. It liberates us from the prison of self-preoccupation. Gratitude is the ability to experience life is a gift. As we saw from James, that gift is a gift from God. The fact that you have breath in your lungs today, no matter how sore your body might be, you have life, and life is a gift of God. In fact, the Latin root, not that I'm a Latin scholar, I'm not, but the Latin word for gratitude is gratia, which is a given gift, and from the same root we get the word grace. Neat connection. You know, our pets can teach us about gratitude. Or if you know the more feline version, next one. It's only the cat lovers that are laughing. Or maybe you get sick of being, as a suggestion being made to you, that you're to be grateful and thankful. We've probably got a few of those in the room. And this would be your sentiment. For all sorts of reasons. Some personalities are just like that. Sometimes the world that we sit in are our circumstances, our trials, our difficulties, our pains squeeze us into this place where the last thing, that last suggestion we want to have made to us is that we are to be grateful in all things. Or as Paul would say, in everything, give thanks. So maybe that's how you're feeling this morning. So I'm just putting that up so I can give you permission to feel that way. We'll see where we go. When I think of gratitude, there's a rather extreme example, which is Tim Kreider. He's a bloke who got stabbed in the neck, and the knife went within 2 millimeters of his carotid artery. And he describes those 2 millimeters as the difference between flown home in the cargo hold instead of on business class. And he made a full recovery and said, it was one of the best things that ever happened to me. He was so grateful for life for the next 12 months that he was unstoppable. He'd come that close to losing 2 millimeters. And it was said of him that it was impossible for him to be unhappy. He realized what life meant again. But we have a bent towards remembering bad things and actually forgetting to give thanks for the blessings. That's why Deuteronomy 8, Moses, as the children of Israel were about to go into the promised land, they'd spent 40 years wandering around in the desert, learning what it was to trust God. and they're about to cross into the land of milk and honey. So that's a description the Bible gives us. Where it was flowing, everything was good except for the enemy that were in there that they were going to defeat anyhow. Everything was good. And so Moses, as he preps them before they cross over, he says to them about what it was to have depended on God for those 40 years, particularly on the bread that he would supply for them every day. Every day God supplied their need in bread so that they had food in their stomachs. And someone said, though, faith wasn't formed on full bellies and satisfied stomachs. Faith wasn't formed on full bellies and satisfied stomachs. And so in verse 10 of Deuteronomy 8, it says, "You shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you." But you see, prosperity is no guarantee of gratitude. Prosperity is no guarantee of gratitude. In fact, it's more likely to be a barrier, which is why Moses in the next verse would say, "Take care lest you forget the Lord your God." Take care lest you forget. And we have a really good forgettery. We're told that remembering the bad things, our brain is like Velcro, and the other things, the good things, Velcro, and the other things is like Teflon. It just slips away. Hebrews 12 verse 28, "Therefore let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe." A gratefulness to God. And here is the call for our approach to our life in this world. It's an invitation to fully understand how favored we are by God. All of the good stuff. And I think this morning's been pretty good, hasn't it? You've been blessed this morning? It's a good reason to be thankful. I'm sitting there just looking at the team up here. I knew what some of the stuff that was going on in the background just for us to have the team that was up here today. And I'm sitting there and I'm just thankful. We've got people serving us on the desk out here. I was just thankful. We've got musicians, we've got vocalists, people setting up on the door, all over. I'm just thankful. There's so much. Everything that we have is a gift from God. You don't own it. You might think you do, but you're supposed to be looking after it because we're stewards. Everything that we have is a gift. And that's what James has already said. But for most Australians and other first world Christians, the mind of the day is more on what we earn or what are our rights, but rarely are we encouraged to consider what we are or what we have or even that we are as gifts from God. So this week we're looking at Paul writing to Colossians, and it's all about Christ, and it's all about how we're to live in Christ and be thankful. So we're going to consider three attitudes, just nice and neat. Three attributes of Christ that result in thankful living. The peace of Christ, the word of Christ, and the name of Christ. Colossians 3, 15 through 17, which says, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." See the pattern? "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus." Here it is again, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The trilogy in three verses. And so firstly, we see here the first attribute of Christ that results in thankful living is peace. He's saying, be constantly thankful ones. Why? Because the peace of Jesus is in your heart, and that's what you've been called to. This is speaking to those who are followers of Jesus. You have Jesus himself is described as peace. And so when Jesus is in your heart, he brings peace there in spite of the world that you may live in. And be thankful. This is the sovereign call of God on your heart. This is the opposite of how we are in our natural selves. In our natural selves, we are not thankful to God. Did you know that? Paul describes this in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, where it says, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened." You see, this is the fight that goes on, is that we're not naturally thankful to God, particularly if we're not Christians. You can understand that. In fact, those who aren't Christians are not thankful to God. They hardened their heart and they're deceived in their mind. Instead, they are very self-oriented. And so Paul would write that. It's interesting because that phrase there gives us an understanding of what gratitude looks like and sounds like in the first century. Because we think how we think about gratitude is the same as what they heard when they read the word gratitude. The readers of the first century understood this better than many today. In the Greco-Roman ethics, the person who received something from another in the ancient world received also an obligation to give thanks and to give honor to the gift giver. That's why Romans 1 just makes a lot of sense. Because it says that they neither give honor to nor give thanks to God. Why? Because honor and thanks were key in the Greco-Roman ethic of this idea of gratitude. You've probably not read of a bloke called Seneca. It's okay if you haven't. He was around the time of Nero, very early first century. Lucius Annius Seneca, he's a Stoic philosopher in ancient Rome. He's actually accused of adultery with the emperor's niece and got banished to Corsica. Things didn't end well with him either. He got in trouble with Nero and died. But he wrote about gratitude, and he said this: "Homicides, tyrants, thieves, adulterers, robbers, sacrilegious men, and traitors there will always be, but worse than all of these is the crime of ingratitude." Interesting. I wouldn't have put it up there, would you? But that's how gratitude was viewed in the first century. That's why when Paul writes that they did not show honor or thanks to God, that was in sync with how gratitude was understood in the first century. According to another writer, Cicero, gratitude is more than the greatest virtue. It is also the mother of all other remaining virtues. So Paul says here that Christ himself, who is the Lord of peace, brings peace into your heart, and as a result of that, he calls upon us to be thankful. You say, "Well, Tony, my world doesn't feel very peaceful at the moment." No, he's not talking about your world. He's talking about you in your heart. You see, when we have Jesus, we have peace with God, and we also have the peace of God that will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Even though your world seems to be falling to pieces, we can be thankful to God because he gives us an inner peace, and actually he is our peace. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body." This is where this peace resides. Individually and then corporately together, we give thanks and celebrate the peace that we have in Jesus. So, let us be thankful. The second attribute of Christ that results in thankful living is the word of Christ, where he says there, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So we have the peace of Christ. Now we have the word of Christ, which dwells in us richly. That idea of dwells means to be at home with. You ever been somewhere that you really don't feel at home? There are all sorts of settings like that where you go somewhere and it's new. I remember I went to a funeral once, and it's a friend of mine, and he was a particular another denomination, and I'd never been, it was in a Catholic church. I'd never been in a Catholic church before for a funeral. And I was used to being a pastor in a Baptist church. In fact, I think I was probably the first Baptist pastor in this Roman Catholic church. And my friend who had died, and there was smoke and stuff and incense and bells and whistles. I did not feel at home. It was not my tradition. I was totally respectful, but I just felt I was in a different place. You ever been in one of those? Because that's not how the word of Christ is to be in your heart. Like it doesn't feel at home. You know that not at home feeling? Like you young people, you go to a meeting and there's just all people over 30 there, which means they're all old. And you're the only young person and you're not feeling at home. That's the idea of this phrase. The phrase here has the idea that the word of Christ will feel at home within us, dwell in you richly. Interesting, it says that we're not to feel at home in this world, but the word of Christ is to be at home with us. Sometimes we're not as thankful as we could be to Christ because the word of Christ is not really feeling at home within us, but we're feeling really at home in the world in which we live. And Paul would say we've got that round the wrong way. There's something about this world that we live in that if we're more at home in that than the word of Christ being at home within us, it's no wonder we will struggle. The word should be able to feel at home in our hearts, and that we are hanging off every word of Christ. So let me ask you this. Is the word of Christ at home in your heart today? Or is it just the good bits? You know, if you read up earlier in the chapter, Colossians chapter 3, it tells you what your wardrobe shouldn't be. Don't be too critical of people, what they wear today, because what Paul says is what you shouldn't be wearing. Colossians 3 gives us our wardrobe, what we shouldn't be wearing, things like hate and envy and anger and all those things. That's a wardrobe that we shouldn't have on. But then he gives us another wardrobe, and it's the clothes of Christ, of what it should be. Humility, long-suffering, patience, fruit of the Spirit. He describes that. You see, sometimes we just like the easy bits of the word of Christ. We're not at home with some of the stuff that convicts us about what our life looks like in the world in which we live. Paul says, I want the word of Christ to be at home in you, and the word there is richly. It's abundantly. It's to the max. Who are your influences? Is Christ your key influencer? Is it someone online? Is it some favorite author that you've got? Some blog that you're listening to? Are they your key influencers rather than the word of Christ? A bit convicting, really, isn't it? Because he says they're teaching and admonishing as the word of Christ, his message takes roots in our heart and our lives, instructing and leading and teaching as we submit to the word of Christ that gives wisdom. We give thanks. We give thanks. Love the fact that we got a couple of young blokes teaching grade 1 and 2 kids at school. Let me encourage you guys, teach the Bible. I say to some of the younger pastor, say, I don't want to know what you think. I want to know what the Bible says. The only time I want to know what you think is when your thinking is framed by the scriptures that you've been studying and exegeting, unpackaging and explaining. So when you read the Bible and you want to share that, it's the scriptures that will be the teaching, the admonishing, and it's the scriptures that will change lives, not what I think. It's the Word of God. And as we teach and admonish with that, lives will be transformed. And then guess what we'll do? We'll sing. That's what he says. Now look in your Bible, it says, singing Sankeys and Alexanders and Baptist hymnal, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. People sometimes will take me to that and say, see, Tony, that's why we should be singing hymns. Sorry, it's a bit early. The hymns weren't really out then. Normally post-Reformation, hymns came in. Prior to that, if you really want to go back to be traditional, and I love hymns, don't, I'm just playing with you this morning, all right? So if you really want to go back, let's sing the Gregorian chants. I just go the Gregorian chants. That would be, let's bring it all back. Whatever it is. The music that we love. That's why I say to our team, just mix it up. Let's do a hymn. Let's do a new one. Let's do whatever it is so that those that want to hang off the rafters that can, those that want to get food for their soul can, whatever it is, but be thankful and sing. Because that's what happens when the Word of Christ gets a hold of our hearts. We're just really grateful to God with thankfulness in our hearts. All right. Better move on. The third attribute of Christ that results in thankful living is the name of the Lord Jesus. Wasn't that a great song? Hey? Just a beautiful song. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You've had someone say to you, whatever. You know, but it's not just whatever, it's with attitude. That's this word here, whatever. Whatever you do, there's no dichotomy between the sacred and the secular. It is whatever. You're not just sacred when you come to church. There's no splitting of who we are. It's in whatever we do, whatever that is, in word or deed. So in lip or in life. What you speak, how you live, and whatever you do, do everything for Jesus and for his glory. It's good, isn't it? See, the Word of God is able to teach and it's able to comfort and exhort and admonish. Whatever you do this week, whether you're doing the ironing, or driving to work, or closing the deal, or answering the phone, or picking up the kids, or dropping off the kids, or trying to remember where you put the kids, greeting a neighbor, preparing for a class, when we're followers of Jesus, the whatever we do is in his name and for his glory, and so we're thankful. There's no menial thing to be thankful for. No little and big. It's just live, lip and life for Jesus. So consider these three attributes of Christ that result in thankful living. The peace of Christ, the word of Christ, and the name of Christ. And here's the suggestion. When we get a hold of these, it will impact how I love, how I live, and how I give. Those three. It will impact how I love, how I live, and how I give. It just does. When I'm living with this attitude of gratefulness in the peace of Christ, the word of Christ, the name of Christ, it will impact how I live, how I love, and how I give. So, here's the thing. As we wrap up this series this morning, you see, someone else has once said, if there's no investment, there's no insight. If there's no investment, there's no insight. So here's your investment this morning. I want you to think through, just bring up the next slide. Over this Force series, what was a new learn that you may have had? What was a new learn? You hadn't understood that before. What was a reminder of something you're really familiar with, but you got a reminder of? Or what was a to-do? What's your, I don't like the word, but what's your takeaway from this series? And what I want you to think about that for a moment. If you've got a piece of pen or paper, you can write it down. Then I want you to share that with somebody. Okay? I want you to share that with somebody. So have a look at those. I want you to look at what you new learn. I want you to take hold of what you've taken in the last 4 weeks. So it's not just information. What's your new learn? But what's a reminder that you might have picked up on? And what's something that you're going to put in place now? Remember, in our first week, I got you to do a gratefulness journal. So at the end of the day, you'd remember three things in the day that you were grateful for. And you write down how that made you feel. Keep doing that. They reckon it takes at least a month to 6 weeks, and you can create a habit with that. So what is the new learn? What is the reminder? And what is the takeaway? And let me encourage you to take a bigger risk and share something with somebody else. Maybe not the person sitting next to you. See how you go. A couple of minutes, all right? So new learn, reminder, takeaway. And Father, take these thoughts shared today from the heart and those that are in the room. And Father, for those that are working through what it is to be thankful and in the context of what life is looking like, we just pray your grace and mercy, which is rich to us and new to us every day. And we give you thanks and honor. Amen.